Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again. Thanks for joining me for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast. For my meditation for February 21, 2021, the first Sunday in Lent, entitled What to Do for 40 Days, inspired by our reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Now, Mark is the perfect gospel for the smartphone age, the age of Twitter and Insta and on-demand TV. Mark is short and it moves quickly. And nowhere is that more evident than in today's reading. In just six short verses, we hear that Jesus is baptized by John, anointed by the Spirit, claimed as God's beloved, and bam, immediately and literally kicked out into the wilderness, where for 40 days he's tempted by Satan, hangs out with wild beasts, is cared for by angels, and bam, John is arrested, and Jesus proclaims, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Whew, I needed a drink of water. I mean, maybe Gatorade. It's short but exhausting, Mark's gospel. So I thought I'd try to slow things down a bit. I'm thinking of those 40 days in the wilderness. One verse in Mark, after that surprising being driven into temptation by the Spirit, he was in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts and the angels waited on him. Now, Lent is 40 days, right? Not counting Sunday, as Sundays are always a celebration of the resurrection, though we do Lent up our Sunday services in this season. So 40 days in which we are, if not driven by the Spirit, certainly urged by the church to spend some time in some kind of desert. I encouraged you, as I said on Ash Wednesday, in the name of Christ, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination, by prayer, by study, and by meditating on God's word. Some folks have already mentioned that they're enjoying the Lenten devotional we sent out. Or you might, as I said in this week's email, observe the three pillars of Lent: prayer, fasting, and charitable giving. And I think you should do all those things. But I also think that this is not the time to make yourself feel guilty because you aren't doing Lent right. To spend 40 days worrying that you're not spiritual enough. And to that end, I'd actually just like to read a story to you today. It's from the book called Light Theology and Heavy Cream. Sounds good already, right? It's by the late Robert Farrar Capon, who was an Episcopal priest on Long Island for many years and also an accomplished cook and food writer, my kind of guy. The story is called Spirituality, and it tells of a conversation between Madeline and Pietro, who my guess is very much resemble Reverend Capon and his wife. So, have a listen. "Will you please stop pacing up and down?" Madeline snapped. "I'm trying to meditate and you're jamming the room with nervous vibrations." Pietro stopped and sat down. "Sorry," he said. "It's just that I have to write a piece about spirituality, and I can't think of a thing to say." "That's because it's not your subject," Madeline said bluntly. "Write about something else." "What do you mean it's not my subject?" Pietro shot back. "I'm a preacher, am I not? I should be able to come up with at least a couple of ideas." "Not necessarily," she replied. "That's the trouble with preachers. They act as if a seminary education and an ordination service could make up for a fundamental lack of talent in a given area." "So," Pietro huffed, "I have no talent for spirituality?" "Of course you don't. You have a tin ear on the subject. There's no more shame in that than there is in being colorblind, which you also are. The only thing you need to remember is not to go running around handing out free advice about either spiritual exercises or color schemes. Pietro looked defeated anyway. What am I supposed to do about this article then? The same thing you did about picking out new paint for the sanctuary. Leave the subject up to other people who have some talent for it. Like you, I suppose, he said archly. Of course, like me, she answered. You know perfectly well I take to prayer and meditation like a singer to singing. It's just what I do, what I've done all my life for that matter. Such humility. Nonsense, she said. I'm only stating a fact. Spirituality is one of the diverse gifts of the spirit. God gives it to some and not to others. I deserve no more credit for having it than for being 5'7" instead of 4'2". All I'm saying is that if people want something way up high on the spirituality shelf, they shouldn't send a mere tiny tot to go fetch it. Oh, are all those gifted with spirituality also the soul of kindness like yourself? Madeline's patience suddenly ran out. Oh, knock it off. You want me to give you some ideas or don't you? Well, yes. Then shut up and listen. Madeline marshaled her thoughts quickly and plunged in. First, it is a gift. And since the spirit hands out gifts as she will, people get neither credit for having them nor blame for not having them. 1 Corinthians 12:8. To one is given by the spirit the utterance of wisdom, and so on. You know what that means? It means that there will probably be tons of people to whom the spirit does not give wisdom, because she figures that since the church is a body, those who have wisdom will exercise it for the benefit of all the fools who don't. The church doesn't need to have all its members to have the gift of sight. One or two eyes are quite enough, thank you. A seeing liver is unnecessary. Ditto with spirituality. Most of the church is not going to be red hot at prayer. So those who are good at it, do it for those who aren't. Pietro broke in. Then what's the point of all the books and sermons urging people to be more spiritual? Sometimes, no point. Sometimes, all the point in the world, Madeline answered. If they're beating everybody over the head to come up with the same level of spirituality, then they're pointless. But if they're simply urging people with varying gifts for spirituality to do the best they can, then they're fine. Spirituality is like dancing. It's one of the great activities of human nature. Even if you can only stumble through it with two left feet, you'll be more human doing it than not. How come you make spirituality sound so unspiritual? According to you, it's just another merely human knack. Well, just another I won't give you, she rebutted. It happens to be one of the best. But merely human knack is okay. Spirituality is not going to be the cause of anybody's salvation. Only Jesus is that. He died for us while we were still sinners. He didn't say he was going to wait until we got our meditation meters to read 100 plus. Spirituality is nice, even terrific. It's also holy, just, and good, like the law and morality and proper table manners. But God doesn't make it a sticking point when it comes to salvation. That I understand, Pietro said. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what people object to most in my preaching. Well, at least you're listening, she said. And the reason why God doesn't make it a sticking point is that there are just too many unspiritual types around. In addition to the business as usual klutzes like yourself, there are also the comatose, the catastrophically freaked out, and all the little babies who don't even live long enough to say mama. If Jesus died and rose for all of them, He'd just be welching if he tacked on spiritual proficiency as a universal requirement. I like that, Pietro said. It's the first spiritual advice I've had in years that didn't make me feel guilty. Good, Madeline answered. But just to keep yourself humble, why don't you leave me to meditate in my kind of peace and you go write your kind of peace? You should write it, you know. Madeline looked at him in disbelief. And I thought you were really listening. Look, I pray, you write. That's the way the gift cookie crumbles. Go scribble something that makes sense and I'll meditate up a storm as my part of the job. So ends the reading. My friends, I invite you to observe a holy Lent, but feel free to stay in your own lane and go at your own speed. Try a new way of praying, or a new way of giving or fasting, or an old way. See what works for you. The goal, as they say in my exercise videos, is progress, not perfection. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. That's all kind of mind-blowing, frankly, and a lot to ponder. But think of this. Jesus didn't know what he was supposed to do, what to expect. He was just there, just present. Whatever temptations came his way, whatever strange adventures and ministering angels, he was just there with God and open to the Spirit. So this Lent, I invite you to just try to keep him company for a while, these next slightly less than 40 now days. Truth is, he's a really good guy to hang out with. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.